Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for the service. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our Friday night service. Let us sing hymn 177. Sing hymn 177.
For yielding is sin, each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language, disdain. God's name hold on to your rest, not take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through. To Him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will be new. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through.
We thank to the grace of the Lord that we are able again to have a service, even though still in our own homes. We praise and thank the Lord. Now in our prayer, let us pray that the Lord Jesus will guide us and lead us in our study tonight. Let's all together kneel down and pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you.
In Jesus' name, let us study the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. For our Friday night service, tonight we will study on renewal of the mind. The renewal of the mind. We will most probably take two sessions for our study. Let us firstly turn to Romans chapter 12. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Let us read verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world or the age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All right, so in the Romans, this from the chapter 12, Paul told the believers concerning the ethical teachings in their life. So here he tells us concerning that we must be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Let us also refer to Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. All right, so twice Paul mentioned matters in relation to the renewal of the mind. So we know that today, the mind, it is the important part in us. Day after day, we make use of our mind. So we think a lot of matters. All right? So as the saying goes, an empty mind is the work of the devil or the factory for the devil to work. All right? So today, we must be careful of our thinking, our thoughts, that relates to the mind. So today we will spend time to study three areas in relation to the mind. All right, so now we come to the first point. We will study the condition of the mind, especially after sin came into the world, after the fall. So we will, from the Bible, study what are the terms or how the Bible describes to us in relation to the mind. Alright, so the first point, we will study the condition of the mind after sin came into the world. So in this first point, we have a few sub-points. So when we say the mind, how the Bible describes about the mind, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind and to improper conduct. All right, so Paul here described the condition of the mind. Here tell us a debased mind. All right, so when we say a debased mind, this type of a mind will lead someone to lead a life reduced in the quality or the value. All right, again we say a debased mind will lead a person to lead a life reduced in quality or the value. So its end is what? They will do things what is not fitting, or doing what is unfitting and improper. So this will be manifested in their life because they have this debased mind. Next, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. All right, so this is the second description of the condition of the mind. Here tells about a futile mind. All right, so when we say a futile mind, what do we mean? This type of a mind will lead a person to lead a life void of useful goals or the aims. All right, So this type of a mind will lead a person to lead a life void of useful goals and the aims. So what is its end? Its end is the emptiness, nothingness, because it is a futile mind. So it will lead a person to pursue what in the end that will not bring any goodness or benefit to them. And in the end, it will come to emptiness, nothingness. The third condition of the mind, let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, the lower portion. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, the lower portion. Verse 18. The lower portion says, puffed up without reason by his fleshly mind. All right, so thirdly, Paul described about the mind, it is the fleshly mind. So this type of a fleshly mind, it will lead a person to lead a life according to unspiritual wisdom or unspiritual knowledge, because it is of the flesh. All right, for example, it is a sense of superior knowledge or piety. So all the while, they think that they have this knowledge, they know better, they know more than others. All right, but in actuality, it is their own mind. It is a carnal mind, a fleshly mind that leads them to make a decision. And of course, in the end, it will lead to pride. So they will be puffed up because they think that they have this special mind, but in actuality, it is fleshly mind leading them to make decisions through the carnal self. This is the third description. Next, the fourth description of the mind. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. And wrangling among men who are, here says, corrupt in mind and bereft of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So the fourth description here tells us the corrupt mind. So this type of a corrupt mind will lead a person to lead a life motivated by hidden motive. And it is for what? For personal gain. All right? So its end is what? It is bereft of the truth. There is no sincerity in whatever that they do because they have this corrupt mind. So they only think in the end for their own benefits, their own goodness. So there is a motive in whatever that they do. Then the fifth description of the mind. Let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. 15, to the pure all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving nothing is pure. Their very minds and conscience are defiled. Alright, so here tells us about a defiled mind. So this type of a defiled mind will lead a person to lead a life of what? Of impurity, unholiness, and in the end, it leads to what? Ungodliness. All right, so here tell us about a defiled mind. So they always think matters that will give way to their weaknesses. Then in the sixth condition, description of the mind, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let us read verse 4. Verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. So the sixth description of the mind here tells us about a blinded mind. So this blinded mind will lead a person to lead a life in the darkness. All right, so when we say darkness, in the end, it will lead them to what? Not to be enlightened. So they are not able to see the light. They are not able to come to the truth. All right, so from the Bible, here it tells us about the description of the mind. So the condition of the mind after the sin came into the world. The Bible tells us about a debased mind, about a futile mind, about a fleshly mind, about a corrupt mind, and a defiled mind, and a blinded mind. All right? So all this tells us about the condition of the mind. Now we come to the second point. The second point now tells us about the tendency or the inclination of the mind. All right? So this, of course, in a way relates to what we have mentioned about the condition of the mind. But now we will study the tendency, the inclination of the mind. There are two sub-points here. So when we mention about the mind, excuse me, so here it says, the mind will set on the things of the flesh. All right? So this is a tendency, the inclination of the mind. It will always think matters concerning the flesh. Let us refer to Romans chapter 8. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the upper portion. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the upper portion. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. All right, so here tells us those who want to lead a life in the flesh, they will always what? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. So firstly, when we say the flesh, what is the flesh? What is the definition of the flesh? Let's refer to the same book, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, let us read verse 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So here tells us what is the flesh. Here tells us about the desires. Let us also refer to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Paul here make known to us very clearly what is the flesh. The flesh here tells about the passions, the desires, or what we say, the lust. All right? So when we say the mind, the tendency of the mind, so this mind is always set on the things of the flesh. So when we say the flesh, it refers to the desires, the passions, the lust. Now we will continue, but when we say the things of the flesh, so what is the things of the flesh? Let's turn to the same book, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, let's read 19 down to 21. Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so here Paul tells us about many things that relate to the flesh. All right, so why people pursue all this? Why they do all these things as recorded here in the three verses? Well, because it relates to the flesh. They give in to the desires, the passions, and the lust of the flesh. For example, as we know, during this MCO, we have heard many news about the young people, especially the young people. They were gathered together, so-called, they broke the MCO. So they were gathered together in the apartments. What were they doing? They were having parties, celebration. All right, they were drinking, they were taking drugs. And we know there are now many reports concerning now the drugs. People are now selling drugs because this is what their mindset on the things of the flesh. All right, so let us be very careful about this condition of the mind, the inclination of the mind. It is always towards what? The mind will set towards the things of the flesh to fulfill the lust, the desires, and the passions. So what is the outcome of this type of a mind? Let's turn back. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let us read verse 6, the upper portion, then verse 7 and the verse 8. Verse 6, the upper portion, down to verse 8. Verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Verse 8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, so today let us take note about this outcome of the mind that is always set towards the things of the flesh. So they cannot please God, so they are hostile to God, and in the end, sadly, here says, it will lead to death. All right, so let us be very careful. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, let us read verses 14 and 15. James chapter 1, 14 and 15. Verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. 15, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. All right, so today, let us take heed of this warning. Let us not set our minds on the things of the flesh, because the outcome, it is not good. We will not lead a life pleasing to God, and we will be hostile to God, and it will lead us to death. Now we will continue the second sub-point, the inclination of the mind, the second sub-point. So the mind will set on what? On the earthly things. Let us refer to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's read verses 18 and 19. excuse me, Philippians chapter 3, 18 and 19. Verse 18. For many of whom I have told you and now tell you even with tears. All right, so Paul was very sad. He told them about those who lead a life caused him to have pain, and he was sorrowful over them. Here says they live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul says their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. They want to fulfill the satisfaction of the flesh, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. All right, so this is the second inclination of the mind, the tendency of the mind. It always set towards the earthly things. Let's also refer to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. All right, so again, Paul tells us not to set our minds on the things that are on the earth. So again, what do we mean by the earthly things? All right, so earthly things, as we know, are those things that we are able to see with our eyes. And we know whatever that we are able to see, it is of the world. It belongs to the world. All right, so when we say earthly things, let's refer also to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 tells us about the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19. Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19. So verse 18 says, and others are the ones sown among thorns. So they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, all right, the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things. So other things also relates to the things that is in the world, enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. All right, so here tells about the cares of the world. We do not deny today we need a livelihood. Today, especially now, in this pandemic, in this MCO, many are not working. So there is always this anxiety, the cares of the world. But of course, here also says about the delight in the riches. So no one will be satisfied with the wealth of the money or the possessions that they have. So they will continue to desire for it. And of course, here says the desire for other things. All right, so these other things relate to the earthly things. Let's also turn to 1 John. This we are very familiar. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. And what do we mean by the things of the world? For all that is in the world, that relates to what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world. All right? So today, let us not set our minds on the things of the world. Why? What is the outcome? Because we know the things of the world, it is physical, it is material, it is transient. All right, so it is not eternal. And in the end, all this will perish. So in the verse 17, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Verse 17, John tells us, and the world passes away and the lust of it. All right, so the world passes away and the desires, the lust for it, for the world, for the things of the world. Because the world will not continue. We know the Lord Jesus will come, and we say that there will be the end of the world. So here says, the world passes away. All right, so this is the outcome. So at times we consider why all this it is happening in the world, especially now, in our generation, in this age, especially this pandemic. I believe many, we have not experienced this type of an intense pandemic that is happening in the world. So why we are in this time? So we must consider, is it that the Lord wants us not to set our mind on the world and the things in the world? So let's consider about this. Let's read what Solomon tells us. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 15 and 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 5:15 and 16. Verse 15, as he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toy, which he may carry away in his hand. So Solomon tells us today, we come into the world naked. We bring nothing. And here says, naked he shall go. He shall not take anything of his toy. That's also referred to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read 7 and 8. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with this we shall be content. All right, so again, the same meaning. Paul tells us today, we brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of the world. So today, what must we learn? We must learn to be contented, to lead a life of the contentment. All right, so let us not set our minds on the world or the things in the world, because it will not last. It will not be eternal. It will perish. So this point too tells us about the tendency and the inclination of the mind. It is always set towards the things of the flesh. And also, the minds will set on the earthly things. And in the end, we know it will not bring goodness to us, because we will not lead a life pleasing to God. We will be hostile to God. And in the end, it leads to death. And whatever that we pursue, in the end, it will come to vanity, nothing, because the world will be destroyed. Empty we come, so we will go also empty-handed. And thirdly, when we say the mind, so from the point one and the point two, it tells us because of the condition of the mind. It is a debased mind, a futile mind, a fleshly mind, a corrupt mind, a defiled mind, a blinded mind. And this mind, there's this inclination to set on the things of the flesh and the things of the world. So now thirdly tells us, what must we have? As Paul says, as the title of our study, we must have what? The renewal of the mind. All right, the renewal of the mind. So in the Greek word renewal, what do we mean by renewal? It means renovation. All right, renovation. Today we know the house, it is already old, it is already not good. Here tells us we want to renovate our house. All right, so when we say renewal, today we must have this renewal, we must also have this renovation. So it is a complete change. So when we say the renewal, it tells us about the adjustment of our thinking, which is designed to have a transforming effect. All right, again, we say, what do we mean by renewal? It means renovation, a complete change, and the adjustment of our thinking, which is designed to have a transforming effect. All right, so we must have the renewal of the mind. And of course, why we must have the renewal of the mind? Let's turn back to our main verse. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Let's read again the verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world or the age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. All right, so we must be transformed by the renewal of the mind. There must be a change, a complete change in our thinking. No longer thinking in the ways of the past, in whatever that we have mentioned just now. So there must be this renewal of the mind. And the lower portion says that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All right, so today, why we must have this renewal? It is because we want to act according to the will of the Lord, to now lead a life that is renewed, that is good, that is acceptable, and that is perfect. Then we're able to lead a life for Christ. So no longer to lead a life for ourselves, but for Christ. So we must have this renewal of the mind. Also, the main verse just now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read 23 and 24. Ephesians chapter 4, 23 and 24. So 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. 24, and put on the new man created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So why we must have the renewal of the mind? Because we do not want again to lead a life of the old man or the old nature. But now we want this renewal of the mind so that now we will strive towards a new man, to have a new nature. And this new man, new nature, it is created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness and the holiness. Alright, so today we must have a new nature that is in us. Because we have already believed in the Lord Jesus, we are in Christ. So now we must renew ourselves. So in what area? The renewal of the mind. Alright, so let us pray that the Lord Jesus will guide us so that in our work of spiritual nurture, we will continue to strive to have the renewal of the mind, to have a complete change in the way that we think, in the whatever that we think. But most important, it must be now directed towards what is good, what is acceptable, the will of God, and what that makes us to be a new person. All glory to His name. Let's sing the second hymn, 248. Sing hymn 248. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who hath dashed on us, Your Savior, and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who had borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen.
the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Now we will pray. Let's continue to pray for our health, for our family, for the church, and let's continue to pray for the issue of this pandemic. Let's all together, in Jesus' name, we kneel down and pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Hallelujah.
We thank you the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We end our service here. May the Lord bless and keep watch over us. Amen.